بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we know that our provision for this world, our rizq, is our religion, Deen al-Islam, walhamdulillah. But we also know that religion is a risk. So it's our rizq, but it's also a risk. And in our times, we have people, we mention this because many of our youth have this, we know that Iman wavers back and forth in strength and potency. But for our youth, we really need to make them firm, inshallah, on our deen. And so even some of their professors, if they were really honest, they would tell them that if you don't believe your religion is the one true religion, then you really don't have a religion. And because I've heard some professors actually say that. And it's a verity that our children definitely need to know, that we need to be firm on our deen. And how to get this firmness, and for any matter that is a risk, just coming into this world is a risk, having a child is a risk, having being pregnant is a risk, being involved in a business is a risk. But when you put the two together, you realize there are things that lessen the risk. So for a pregnant woman, for instance, she makes sure that she takes care of her body, watches what she takes and puts into her mouth, and takes extra care of what she puts into her body and her environment, and so on. And so a business person, for the same, and for all these things that are risks, which is plentiful in our world, the world itself is a risk. Being born is a risk that we didn't ask for, but to understand this concept, we also have this minimizing the risk, and that is to have love. The quickest way to reduce the risk is to have intense love. So this is why the ulama, especially Sheikh Muhammad, hafizahullah, he says that to go about in da'wah, the quickest route is to increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So while our iman might waver back and forth, but the one who really loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam will always have that as a ballast, and make that make his iman stronger. And so we need to have this aspect of minimizing the risk, and especially in amongst the youth, the teenagers. And so the more we tell them about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the greater it'll be for their iman. And in fact, we should be wary of whom we take our children around. Now, I was in Iowa this week, and for a doctor's visit for my children, and he turned out to be of the Baha'i faith. And just because they saw us from an Eastern religion, and obviously they know somewhat about Islam, they started talking to my children about what they believe. Until I thought it would be okay the first couple of things they said, but then I interrupted them and I said, you know, we're really strong. One thing you should know about Muslims is we're very, very strong on our faith. And so by the end of it, when they heard, so I had them get a lesson on Islam rather than their faith, Baha'i. So by the end, they would acknowledge that actually everything we got is from your religion. So, but in terms of being wary about this, the ulama say al-udhunu qim'ul qalbi, the ears are channels to the heart, or a funnel to the heart. فَلَا تُمَكِّنْ زَيْغُ الْقَلْبِ. So don't lend your ears to the people of deviation. And something we have to keep in mind in the era that we live in, but all times. I mean, psychologists know this, marketers know this, that this is why they put subliminal messages into commercials and advertisements, because they know the ears are the channel to the heart. So we have all these things that we listen to, and next thing we know, we don't know why we're doing something. There really is an impact on our heart in terms of what we lend our ears to. So for our times especially, and this is why, obviously, we have to be very careful in the school system that we put our children in, the company that we find our children in, and even ourselves. We have to be on guard. even amongst other Muslims, they may not know their aqidah, for instance. How do you explain, for someone who hasn't studied aqidah, they might not know how to explain the ayah, for instance, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, created the Arsh, the throne, and it's upon water. So the Arsh itself is created, and those who didn't study Aqidah might have a hard time understanding this concept. So we need to instill these understandings with our kids. Istiwa, we know, means that he is established on the throne, but we give this ayah tafweed. We leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we don't have full comprehension of such ayat. So we know the Arsh is created, but in terms of istiwa here, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power, has authority over the throne. So we don't get caught up in this dialectic that anthropomorphists get into about the Arsh. If it's created, then what does that say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We don't say that Allah has a place or a direction. And of course, this comes into play with our children, how we explain to children about their ubiquitous question is, where is Allah? And so we can't say, obviously, we can't point to a direction. We can't say that he's everywhere, because that would imply that, anything that a child points to, he'll ask you, is Allah there also? So we just simply say that he is where he always was, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this takes us to that concept of being careful with our words and being careful who we lend our ears to, and particularly for our children, as I said. It's really astounding that people don't know how to say simple things to our children who are under a lot of anxiety about the world. They're wondering about what we've done globally, ecologically to the world, our generation, and those few generations before us, the tremendous damage that we've done. And so, but one of the things that helped children more than anything is reminders that their parents love them. Because with these anxieties that they have, this is the one balm to a child's heart. And this is why it usually took a village, and it still takes a village to raise a child. Unfortunately, for the most part, parents are on their own in this regard, and they don't have, depending on where they live, help from their own family members, much less the whole village. But nobody, for the most part, lives near extended family. Alhamdulillah, I think there's more of it here in the Midwest, those who had their three generations around them. But for the most part, we don't have that. So we as parents have to be really careful where we...